For years I have wondered whether the Christmas Day sermon is of any consequence. I have wondered if we would rather better off listening to Ian read us the Luke's Gospel account of the Nativity of our Lord, and allowing the carols and the candles and Christ incarnate in the bread and the wine to proclaim what Luke chapter 2 verses 10 to 11 says, that good news of great joy for all people: to you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Messiah the Lord. And quite frankly, that would be enough. That would be a fantastic Christmas Day. So I ask myself, what do I want to hear on Christmas Day? I find myself hungering for a word that will startle me, in this very same way that the angel's announcement startled the shepherds. So what is such a word? In the past, I've heard preachers justifiably bash the economically powerful celebrations of Christmas. These preachers of the past have told me Christmas is too commercial, and they're right. But that's not the word I'm hungering for today. However, in our gospel reading, Luke does acknowledge and then turns away from the structures of political power. Luke makes mention of Augustus and Quirinius, two very powerful men in the ancient world. However, Luke renders these emperors, these governments, these laws, these world orders, he renders them as God's servants, that they have saving purpose. But there's more. Reading the Christmas story in context, we see that Luke acknowledges and then turns away from religious as well as political power. If we skip to Luke chapter 3, verse 2, he mentions the high priest the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, two of the high priests of the day. So now I'm interested. My interest is piqued. So now I'm feeling surprised, because the Word of God didn't go to church. Isn't that amazing? The Word of God did not go to church. The angel's announcement and the fulfillment of prophecy didn't go to the temple. Where did it go? It went out into the fields, didn't it? Where the shepherds were living. The Word of God didn't go to a religious elite people. It didn't go to church. It didn't go to the temple. Where did it go? It went out into the wilderness. So there is a surprise. And that's the surprise I'm looking for. Here's the startling word. If we want to experience the newborn Christ, and we take Luke's account, Luke's gospel account, very seriously, the last place to be on Christmas Day is in church. Because Jesus is born where people need him most. And I know many of us will leave here and tuck into a stunning Christmas lunch. I'm looking forward to that myself. Or we will sit by the glow of a very well-lit Christmas tree and open some gifts with loved ones. However, I want you to imagine spending Christmas Day physically and spiritually, not in the dining room or at the dining room table, not around a Christmas tree with loved ones and opening gifts, but in a field of isolation, in the fields of the disfranchised, in the fields of the forgotten, or in our own painful places of spiritual wilderness. Because God speaks the good news of Christ's coming right there in the wilderness. God brings great joy to those who need it the most, right there in the wilderness. However, God does even more than that. Let's have a look again at verses 8 and 9. You can look at it in your order of service and follow along with me. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Shepherds living in the field, living as outsiders, not living in the town, living in the fields, living as outsiders. At the time of Jesus, shepherding had become a job that only the lowest in society took. People who couldn't find what was regarded as a decent job became shepherds. Ancient societies stereotyped shepherds as liars, as sinners, as thieves. The testimony of a shepherd was not acceptable or admissible in a court of law in ancient times. And many towns had bylaws barring shepherds from actually coming within the city limits. And to add salt to the wound, the religious establishment took particularly a dim view of shepherds, because being a shepherd kept them from observing the Sabbath and rendered them ritualistically unclean. So if you are ritualistically unclean in the time of Jesus, that means you could not go to temple, you could not go to synagogue. The Pharisees classed shepherds and tax collectors and prostitutes in the same category, persons who were sinners by virtue of their vocation. However, God sends angels to the shepherds. And it's a much bigger, it is much bigger than reaching out to outsiders. God's just not reaching out to the outsiders. He's sending his messengers to the uber outsiders. Think about it. If you spend enough time in a field shunned by decent and religious folk, disappointed by God or overwhelmed by grief, you would stop caring about that. You would just stop caring about that you're an outsider. You just would dislocate yourself from society. And so how many people outside of these four walls that we're meeting have given up on trying to get inside religion? Having tried to be part of a church, how many people have given up on God and, for good or bad, have walked away and just forgotten about all that sort of stuff in their life? And if you're here this morning, this Christmas Day, and that might be you, I don't know, there's good news. And that good news is God does not give up on us. God still sends angels to people who have given up on God. How would you respond to God sending an angel to you when you'd given up on God, like the shepherds? I'd be terrified, because that's what the scripture says. They were terrified. But in Jesus, God comes in a way that is far from frightening this morning. Jesus comes to us in vulnerability, in helplessness, as a child wrapped in bands of cloth and laying in a manger. Jesus is born like any other baby, except Jesus is born on a road trip and he's laid in a feeding trough. There is no magi at this manger scene. No, there's no three wise men at this manger scene. Jesus is born among the lowly and the poor. And Luke gives no limit or gives no hint that Jesus is anything special. There is no angel at the stable, because the angels are over in the field with the shepherds. In fact, Mary and Joseph only hear of angelic activity because the shepherds tell them that. The baby born in Bethlehem is about more than reaching out to outsiders this morning. Jesus is born to those who have been outside so long that they have given up on God. Embracing this from our gospel text this Christmas morning is good news to me, because I know and love people who have been outside so long that they have given up on God. And you probably know people who are also down and blue this Christmas, and they can't come to worship, or they won't come to worship. So my prayer this Christmas morning, while I am in church worshipping and singing of the joy coming to the world, my prayer is that God will send out angels into the fields with good news of great joy, and that Jesus is being born among the people of our parish who have given up on him. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, when we consider the many points or many pointers that the religious leaders were given, it seems astonishing that they missed the truth of Christ's coming. Keep us from missing the truths that are contained within your word through our pride and our biased opinions. Keep us low at the cross, broken before you and teachable in heart and soul, Thank you for the clarity of your gospel of grace and for many biblical proofs and prophecies that point us to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you for sending Jesus to be Messiah and Savior of the world. And that by faith in his person and work, we have been forgiven of our sins and received eternal life, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.